Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When those people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. I am at Georgia Tech. Today, I am so pumped about this. I've been looking forward to this so much because there was an article that I stumbled across written by Mary Eberstadt from the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. And the title of it is Pornography the New Tobacco? And she goes about making the case that back in the 50s, an individual would say tobacco, smoking, fine. Pornography, terrible. Today, just the opposite. Pornography, fine. Smoking, very bad. And with that, the ad campaign of, well, I would suggest mostly liberal people in going against the supposed moral evil of smoking has done a masterful job of bringing down smoking in this country. 50% of Americans used to smoke. Do you believe that? 50% in 1950. It's down to 20% now. Why? Because it's bad to smoke. And in the meantime, back then, pornography, yeah, Playboy was out there, I think, back then, but it was something filthy and dirty. These days, as we've heard on the campuses before, not a problem. Pornography, hey, it's a private act, no worries. So today what we'd like to do is challenge people to have them think through which is the most morally evil thing. Is it pornography? Is it smoking? Is it abortion? Is it hooking up? Which, by the way, if you're not familiar with the term, it's like one night stand taken to a whole new level. You don't know the person. You don't even talk to the person. You just hook up and then be on your way. Wow. I got to tell you something. That's a conscience that has got to be pretty seared if that doesn't trouble you the morning after. We are going to try to challenge them to come up with the list, the order of morality. So let's see if we can maybe get to their conscience a little bit and help them understand a moral order. And that maybe while smoking, I'm not saying it's a sin, I've always just said it's stupid. Can we get them to admit that abortion is worse? Can we get them to admit that pornography is worse? Can we get them to admit that hooking up is worse? We'll see. All right. I am at my favorite fishing hole, and there's a guy sitting here eating a big, it's a Mexican thing. And I'll see if he'll answer my question for me. Hey, sir, could I ask you a quick question while you're eating your, it's a potato, is what it is. All right, I'll let you swallow. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. By the way, dude, you need some sunblock. You're getting baked.
Really?
Yeah, you're looking a little red. Or do you always look that way?
No, maybe I do.
No, you're looking like you got a little sun.
Well, maybe I should go inside then.
All right. Well, maybe sunblock.
Maybe that.
All right. Here's my question for you. I would like to have you answer for me which you think is the worst thing. I'm going to give you a couple of options, and you tell me which one you think is worse. All right?
All right.
All right, here we go. Is smoking worse or watching pornography worse? Which one?
I think smoking is worse.
Smoking is worse. All right, let's try another one.
I mean, yeah, depends on what your consideration of bad is, but...
Well, bad. Not good. Morally wrong.
Well, morally, I think watching pornography, but if it comes to, like, health, then I guess smoking is a lot worse.
Okay. All right, so if you, in your personal life, uh-huh, which one would you like to do the least? Smoke or watch pornography?
Smoke.
Really? All right. How's about smoking versus abortion?
Smoke.
Smoking is worse than abortion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the term hooking up? Do you know what that is?
I guess so.
Yeah. That's apparently what college students do these days a lot. They just meet a complete stranger, intimate with one another, and then go their separate ways. Kind of a one-night stand sort of deal.
Yeah. Right?
Which one do you think is morally worse, smoking or hooking up?
Smoking.
Smoking again.
Oh, hang on. Morally? Yeah, I think they're... So from a moral point of view, I think they're both, like, not like, not wrong.
They're not. Neither one is bad in this case.
Like, yeah, moral.
All right. So if you had to decide, okay, you've either got to hook up or smoke a cigarette.
Then I'd rather hook up.
You'd rather hook up. All right, dude. Hey, put some sunblock on. I mean it.
Yeah, well.
All right, you're getting baked. It's getting a little toasty out here. Okay, I am going to, right now, walk over to a quiet place, sit down, kind of squatting style, put my thumb in my mouth, and cry. Smoking is worse than abortion. Oh, we've come a long way, baby. I'm sorry. This is just terribly depressing to me. Let's try another pollster. This is George Barna reporting from Georgia Tech. Excuse me. Hey, I know you're busy studying, so I'll make this very quick. I want to ask you a question on the radio, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right? I want to ask, you're studying Yeeks. What is this?
Computer architecture.
Yeeks. Looks horrible to me. I don't understand any of this. You've got a different type of brain than I do. I would like to ask you a philosophical, moral question, okay? Mm-hmm. Which do you think is morally worse, smoking or viewing pornography? Which one do you think is worse?
Well, honestly, I think viewing pornography would be morally worse. Because morally, the idea of reproduction or even doing sex as anything more than, say, a form of entertainment. I mean, for anybody else, sex is something more than just entertainment. It's something more serious. There are more serious connotations to it.
All right.
Smoking is probably something you would do, which would be bad for you on a personal level. It may be bad for you around you. But I do not really think it affects somebody's moral character as such.
Interesting. What about the difference between smoking and abortion? Which do you think is morally worse?
Again, I think I would say abortion is probably morally worse.
Now, may I ask you, you were pretty clear in your decision-making. What informed those decisions?
I guess it's a lot to do with my upbringing and the ideals that were instilled in me when I grew up. And
what ideals are those?
I guess I believe that it's wrong to kill a human being.
But are the religious morals, just family values? Where did you get those?
Family values in the society I live in. It's more that than religion as such. It's more the society I lived in.
Are you a religious person?
I don't know.
You don't? You were doing so well before. What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know what. How you would define a religious person?
Somebody who believes in a deity and maybe has some values that surround that?
Yes, then I am.
A follower of a divine being?
Yes.
What are you, may I ask?
I'm a Hindu.
Tell me what it means to be a Hindu. Convert me to Hinduism. I'd love to learn.
Well, I really would not do a propaganda.
I'm asking you. I want you to convert me.
Because I would probably call myself an agnostic more than anything else.
So you're a backslidden Hindu.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Okay. How many gods are there in Hinduism?
A crore.
I'm sorry?
A million?
A million?
Yeah.
I've heard like 300 million.
No, a million.
A million.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of gods.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
What do those gods do? Do they have power?
I don't believe. I guess my beliefs are sort of different from the traditional Hindu beliefs as such. I just believe that there is a supreme being. It doesn't matter what you call him by name. It could be one of those 1 million gods, or it could be any other religion following any other deity as such.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that there is some supreme being who, at some level, controls what goes around in this world.
Okay. Let me challenge that, okay?
Okay.
This is who I think God is. Mm-hmm. I think God is Ravi Shankar. And if I listen to his third CD 8 times right before I die, I'm going to spend eternity eating curry with Ravi Shankar. Uh-huh. That's what I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
I wouldn't say that.
Come on!
Say that in the sense that I wouldn't say that God isn't Ravi Shankar. I would say God is the music that he plays.
What? Explain that to me.
Yeah, because what is a supreme being? It's somebody who makes you attain a different level it's something from where you're able to get out of yourself and go into something else, something more at a more elevated plane, something more divine.
But how do you know it's the music? Because that elevates.
Yeah.
Okay, but then shouldn't you say to me that I'm wrong? Ravi Shankar is not God?
Ravi Shankar is not God, that's what I said.
So I'm wrong?
Yes, in that
There sense, you go, that's good.
Yeah.
So it does matter what you believe.
Okay, I didn't get that question.
Well, you originally said it just doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you have a faith, as long as you believe in something, it can be any of the million gods as long as you believe it. I said, well, I think God is Ravi Shankar. Clearly I'm wrong. So it does matter what you believe.
No, I guess what I would say is that it doesn't matter what you believe, because you may believe it is Ravi Shankar who is God,
yeah.
But it is probably not the person himself, but what he does and what is...
So I'd be wrong.
The thing is, you would...
In your please call me wrong. Just tell me I'm wrong. Please.
No.
Come on.
No.
Not only will I not get mad, I will rejoice. I will do a little Ravi Shankar dance in front of you. If you just say, sir, you're wrong. Ravi Shankar is not God. Come on. You can do it. It is so liberating. You have no idea how good it is. Try it.
No.
Oh, will you sit tight for a minute? I've got to take a break deal.
Okay.
And I'll come back and I want to challenge you on something else, okay?
Sure.
Keep studying. You've got 3 minutes to get your homework done.
Okay.
Alrighty? It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here today for Wretched Radio. You know, we're always appreciative of your time. And while I do have a bit of your time, I would ask for you to prayerfully consider picking up a copy of Wretched's newest resource, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. We're all touched by this epidemic in some way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, suicide rates have increased by 60% in the last 45 years. It's the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. The third leading cause of death for people between the ages of 15 and 24. We all know someone who's in desperate need of help. So would you please visit wretched.org/13 and pick up your copies of 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and hand them out to everyone that you possibly can think of who might be hurting. As Christians, we have the word of life. We have the answers that this world so desperately needs. wretched.org/13. wretched.org/13.
And now, a story from Dr. John MacArthur.
When I began preaching many years ago, expositional messages, they started circulating the earth on cassette tape. Pretty soon, I started getting invitations from places all around the world to preach there. And people said, we haven't heard preaching like this. Can you teach us how? And eventually, they would say, can you stay and start a school and train our pastors? And now it's developed into maybe 35 different places where the graduates of the Master Seminary have now set up training schools to train pastors around the world, and it's expanding to the point where I think we have 50 cities waiting for us to come and do the same thing there.
Specifically waiting for you to consider adopting a seminary overseas. Master Seminary graduates equipping men to fill pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. It's a magnificent ministry. Encourage you to learn more and consider supporting the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, So Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, young lady. All right, I'm curious, the necklace that you have on, what is the symbolism of that?
It's Om.
Om, is that a mantra?
Yes.
And what does that mantra do for you?
It's something that gives me a sense of peace, and it helps me to focus better on what I'm doing.
How does it do that?
It's just a belief that it does it, more than the fact that it actually does it.
Mind over matter?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You're fooling yourself.
No.
Oh.
It works. As long as it works, it doesn't matter, does it?
But you're still fooling yourself.
No.
Just because the end result works doesn't mean you're not fooling yourself.
I don't know. I cannot say that whether I'm fooling myself or not. I just know that it works.
So it's true.
For me, it's true, yes.
But it wouldn't be true for me if it doesn't work.
It's for, in my opinion, you have to believe it is true for it to be true.
But what if it's not true?
If you believe it's true, it will be true. The idea is that no one in this world is right.
Okay, I want to share with you.
As right as you believe yourself to.
No. All right, I'm going to try one on you. All right, and I'm going to see if I can convince you of something that I think is right. All right, okay. You said before you were trying to figure out, or at least thinking about, the whole idea of God and religion, and you're a bit of a backslidden Hindu, correct? Mm-hmm. All right, I happen to be a Christian. Are you familiar with Christianity? All right, do you know who Jesus Christ is?
Yes.
Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, definite article, the truth, and the life. No other gods are true. All other gods are false. I'm the only one that exists. Everything else is idle and vain imagination. That is a pretty severe statement, yes?
Yes.
That's contrary to what you're saying. Now let's see if what he's saying is true or not, okay? Because I would guess right now, if I said, do you think Jesus Christ is the only God, you would say?
No.
No. But I say that he is. So one of us is right or wrong. Doesn't matter how much I believe it. I'm either right or wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what Jesus Christ did and why? Do you have any idea?
Not too much.
All right. Basically, the story is this, that God created the world because he wanted to demonstrate something. He wanted to show his loving kindness and his mercy and his goodness. So he created people, us, knowing that we'd break his laws. And his laws basically are moral perfection. One of the ways that we know the character and the nature of God is through the Ten Commandments. Are you familiar with the Ten Commandments?
I have heard about it, but I don't know it in detail.
The Ten Commandments, pretty universal. Things like lying, stealing, adultery, blasphemy, adultery, dishonoring your parents, murder. Things I think that we'd consider to be pretty universal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So a good way to understand what God was all about is to look at the Ten Commandments and to see, how do I do, if God is right and true, and his laws are the Ten Commandments, how would I do if I were judged by the Ten Commandments? So I'm going to ask that of you. For instance, lying is a violation of his laws. Have you told lies in your life?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever stolen anything?
No.
No. Have you ever dishonored your parents by not doing what you were told?
No.
When you told a lie, though, that would be dishonoring to your parents because their daughter told a lie.
Okay.
You dishonored their name. Their name is precious. People have an impression of them through their name, and you dishonor them and their name by not being a perfect child.
Okay?
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No.
Jesus said something that's really penetrating. He said, if you just look at another human being with lust, with sexual desire, you've committed adultery in your heart, because God goes beyond what you do, it's what you think. So I'll leave that one between you and God, if you've ever looked with lust, okay? The Bible goes even further and says, if you've ever just been angry at somebody, you thought they were an idiot, a terrible driver, a moron, they're waiting in line and they're holding you up, and you just are mad at them, maybe a racist thought, that you've had a lower opinion of somebody because of their skin color, any of those things, God says he sees as murder of the heart. And if he judged us and he opened up the books and he knew every thought, word, and deed, I presume you, like the rest of us, would be guilty before God.
Yes.
Right? So if God is righteous and holy and good and perfect, and we're lawbreakers, and we haven't thanked him for our food, We haven't thanked him for the air that he's provided, our education. What should God do with us? Reward us and take us to heaven, or punish us by sending us to a bad place called hell? What should a holy God do?
I think he should teach us.
Okay, well, if the lesson's over, the criminals have been brought before the bench of the judge. The judge, the time for learning is over. You've had your time. You've had your 20 years, your 50 years, your 70 years. You've broken the laws. You're guilty. What should a just judge do with guilty criminals?
I don't think putting anyone in hell is the solution.
It may not be the solution, but it would be the right thing to do to satisfy justice.
It may be the right thing to do to satisfy justice, but I think justice, in the end, as far as a holy God is, from the perspective of a holy God, is to make somebody realize and change, which is probably what the entire intention of life or the decision...
Perhaps in life, but here's the scenario. If it's true, God says it is appointed for us to die one time. We get one life, we die, we get judged. That's the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. Lessons are over. There's no time for change. He finds us guilty. If he is good because he hates evil, I mean, we don't like to hear about women getting raped and abused and children being beaten up, people being murdered. We like the idea that justice comes in and does what is right and punishes the lawbreaker. And that's what God must do with us. He must punish us if he is good and loving, because love means he hates sin. Now, if that's the case, we are all in very big trouble, because nobody can say, I don't have lying lips, I don't have lustful desires, I've never been pure of heart. We are all in big trouble, and that's the human dilemma. We are innately bad, not good, and God, if he gives us what we deserve, we are in big trouble. Do you remember what I said in the beginning? I said, God created the world to do what? Do you remember what I said?
Yeah.
What?
To essentially, let's see how you put it. Because to say that this is what is bad. I mean, essentially, we were all bad. We were all...
But to show off his goodness.
Yeah.
He wants to demonstrate his kindness.
Yeah.
Now, how did he do that? That's the question. We believe that God, in his goodness, instead of giving us what we deserved in his forbearance and in his kindness, he sent his son, whose name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is fully God. He became a human being, and he was beaten by men, spat upon, had his beard pulled out of his face, was hit in the head with sticks, punched in the face, so disfigured you couldn't even tell he was a human being, hung on a cross where he gasped for air until he died. And the Bible says that God bruised his only son so that your sins could be forgiven. You've broken God's laws, but Jesus, in his goodness, paid your fine to satisfy the wrath of the Father, so that all of your sins can not only be forgiven, but that you can be seen as good before a holy God. That's the Christian gospel. The bad news is we deserve a bad thing. The good news is God will save us and deliver us and take us to heaven based on what Jesus Christ did, so that for all of eternity, all of creation will look at God and say, he is an amazingly kind and good God. He should give us hell, but instead he suffered hell for us, if you will, so that we could be taken to heaven. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, the Bible says, if that's true, what you need to do is repent. Have you ever heard that term before? What does it mean?
You need to atone for your sins?
Nope. Can't do that. Jesus atoned for your sins. To repent means to agree with God. I'm not good. I'm bad. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've offended you in thought, word, and deed. And I'm sorry. And you turn from your sins, and you put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ as the only true God. And then God will forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life. But you must repent and put your trust in him. And the reason that that makes so much sense, and that he either must be the truth or he's a liar. You should figure out if this is true or not. Because if it's true and you died in your sins, you'd go to hell. But God is good, and this day you've heard the good news of the gospel, and he commands you to repent and put your trust in his son, and he will adopt you as his child, and all of your sins, your guilty conscience, wiped away, and you'll be seen as righteous because of what Jesus did by living a perfect life that you and I couldn't live. So could I simply encourage you today? You're on campus here and you're trying to figure out big things and where you're going in life, and you confessed that you're a bit of a backslidden Hindu. Try to figure out if the Christian gospel is true or not. Because if it's true, you could become God's child.
I can tell you with reasonable confidence that this is pretty much what is said in the Hindu gospel as well as any other religion.
Here's what Jesus offers that perhaps those other religions or gods don't. A payment for your sins. He died for you. In your place, he took the wrath that you deserve. So that justice could be satisfied and God could show his kindness, Jesus did this for you. It's either true or it's false. And it doesn't matter what I think about it. It either is true or it isn't. Okay? You are a lady. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks for the chat. That is not what the other religions teach. But even so, we'll continue at Georgia Tech on Witness Wednesday at Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Higgs. While an outspoken Christian preacher and activist is accusing his daughter's school of violating her First Amendment rights by forcing her to change out of a shirt proclaiming that homosexuality is a sin, he's contemplating legal action. Brill Pinkoski, the daughter of Reverend Rich Pinkoski, attends Livingston Academy, a public school in Livingston, Tennessee. During the school day on Tuesday, August 25th, she was allegedly asked to change out of a black t-shirt bearing white letters asserting that homosexuality is a sin. The shirt references 1 Corinthians 6, 9-10. When Pinkoski refused to change out of the shirt, she was sent home from school, her father said in a recent interview. Reverend Pinkoski, who regularly speaks out in opposition of things like homosexuality, runs an organization called Warriors for Christ, which describes itself as a pre-denominational ministry that has a global online presence. He and his family moved to the North Central Tennessee area in March of this year. In an email, Pinkoski claimed that Livingston Academy principal Richard Melton reasoned that his daughter's shirt was prohibited because its message featured sexual connotation. Responding to that explanation, Pinkoski noted that one of his daughter's teachers has a LGBT pride sticker displayed in his classroom featuring the rainbow colors associated with the LGBT movement. According to Pinkoski, the principal did not have any issues with the pro-LGBT display. Of course not. The California-based Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministry, with the help of religious rights law group Liberty Council, have filed a lawsuit to appeal and challenge California Governor Newsom's ban on in-person worship services. Liberty Council stated that the lawsuit would appeal both the total ban on in-person worship, including in private homes in the counties on the county monitoring list, and the ban on singing and chanting in the remaining counties. Not only does Harvest Rock seek to reinstate the in-person worship services, but their life groups, which are smaller Bible studies, as well. Well, a Seattle-based church is suing the state of Washington for forcing coverage of elective abortions into their health insurance plans. The case has already reached the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit after a lower court dismissed Cedar Park Assembly of God's complaint. The opening brief presented to the appellate court challenged the Washington State Senate Bill 6219, which was signed into law in March 2018. The bill requires all employers offering health care plans with maternity care to also cover elective abortion procedures. According to the Alliance Defending Freedom, a nonprofit which is representing the church, the law restricts Cedar Park's First Amendment rights. The majority Democratic Senate passed the bill in March with a 26-22 vote, with only one Republican siding with the Democrats, according to the Seattle Times. The bill's sponsor, Democratic Senator Steve Hobbs, believes that abortion should be part of a basic woman's primary health and that no woman should have to seek or pay for an additional rider or copay or have any other means of delay or financial burden for this coverage. More Wretched Radio, still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Lexicon. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Guys, while you're walking, I want to ask you a quick question on the radio. Do you mind?
Okay.
It's a quickie. All right, I want to ask you to tell me which you think is worse, all right? It's like a game show. Which one is worse, smoking or viewing internet pornography? Which do you think is worse, dude?
Smoking.
Is worse. All right. Young man, smoking or internet porn?
Smoking.
Young man.
Smoking.
Smoking. All right. How's about this one? Smoking or hooking up? Which one's worse?
Hooking up with who?
Well, you know what it is, right?
Yeah, I guess.
With whomever, but you don't know who it is. That's the whole point of hooking up. You don't know.
You do it differently than me. I say smoking.
No,
still.
I don't, but okay. Smoking still. All right. Smoking or hooking up, dude?
Alcohol involved?
I don't know. Just answer the question.
It has an effect on my hooking up.
You answered the question. Young man, smoking or hooking up?
Hooking up.
Is worse.
Whatever. Yeah, I think so.
Wow, you're the pure one in the lot here.
Yeah,
is that correct?
I am.
All right, smoking or abortion, dude?
Abortion.
Is worse. Smoking or abortion?
Abortion.
Smoking or abortion?
Abortion.
All right, guys, how did you make those decisions? Where'd you get your morals from? Where'd your values come from? Mr. Smoking?
Smoking isn't a moral thing, it's a health thing.
So that makes it worse than the moral issue, looking at porn.
I don't see that as too much of a moral issue.
You don't think pornography is a moral issue? Ah, that's why you answered it that way.
Yeah.
So you don't think that looking at pornography is bad?
No.
All right. Dude, do you think looking at pornography is bad in any way?
Nope.
Young man?
I don't think so.
How come?
It's not bad. I don't know. For me, it's not bad. I don't have any specific...
No problems looking at porn. And why? Nothing wrong with it? All right, okay, hold on a second. Let's see. Are your parents alive, young man?
Yeah.
All right. I get your parents. They go to your dorm room. Would you watch porn with them in the room?
No, that's a private thing, but...
Why?
Because usually when I watch porn, I don't have all my clothes on.
Interesting. All right, let's say you are fully dressed, all right?
Yeah.
Why not have other people around? What's the problem?
Oh, if you just had it on, yeah, there's no problem. I mean, it's
with your parents being there?
It's just naked people. I mean, it wouldn't
be... You wouldn't blush in front of your parents?
No.
I mean, seriously?
If everyone's, you know, adult consenting, it's entertainment. It's performers.
So it's just a show?
Yeah.
All right. Could we do that with murder? Actually murder somebody
no,
and just say it's a show?
That's immoral. People have sex morally all the time.
All right.
People don't murder people morally.
Do you think
morally,
there's any
ever.
Morality ever involved in intimacy between human beings?
Yeah. You should definitely, consider other people's feelings and always, try to make sure that any relationship is beneficial for both people.
Is bestiality wrong in your opinion?
Ooh, yeah, probably.
Why?
I don't know. It just
doesn't hurt anybody.
The animal doesn't really have a good idea of what's happening, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Right. But where do you come up with that just because it's gross? Is that a valid reason to tell somebody they can't be in a relationship with a horse?
No. I suppose if you really wanted to be in a relationship with a horse and you can make a strong argument that you and the horse were happier, I'd be okay with
Alrighty.
That.
Alright, I want to check out. Guys, mom and dad come to visit you. You've got your computer on and you're looking at pornography. Not a problem, or does it make you uncomfortable?
I would feel uncomfortable, and my parents would feel even more uncomfortable, I guess.
Why, if it's okay? What's the problem? I don't get it.
I mean, it's okay because, doesn't, hurt anybody, does it?
Well, I'm just asking you why you'd be uncomfortable if it's okay. If it doesn't hurt anybody, why
are
mom...
It's a private thing, as my friend said.
What does that mean?
Private?
Why is it private? If it's okay, why do it in private?
Because you do something sometimes that are okay but are private, right? When you go to the bathroom, it's private, but it's still okay.
Ah, so there's some sort of shame involved. Because you don't want to be showing yourself nude in front of people, I presume.
Maybe. I don't walk around naked in my house. So.
Right. Or out here in public.
Yeah.
Dude, any shame at all with pornography, say, in front of mom and dad?
Just because, yeah. Just the way we've accepted it as a social norm.
So you wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah, because I don't think... I mean, if 100 years ago people were doing it and everyone's doing it, I'm sure I would do it. But I think it's a normal social acceptance.
Right. So social norms cause you to maybe feel a little shame in front of mom and dad.
Sure.
All right. Guys, where do you get your morality from? Where do these principles come from? How did you decide this is what I think is right, wrong? Societal, parents, religion, what?
I guess society, my parents. I think that people are by nature moral creatures because they,
Do you think we're basically good or bad?
I was thinking about this just the other day. I think that on the whole, we're basically good, but individuals are questionable, maybe basically bad.
Doesn't the whole get made up by the individuals?
Yeah, but it's like an averaging thing.
I see. So there's a curve.
Yeah. I think that one person you can't say is basically good, but But all people, I think, are basically good.
All right, I'm going to try to prove you wrong. I'm going to try to prove that you guys aren't basically good. You ready for this?
My argument is not that I'm basically good.
I thought you said we were basically good.
I said individuals aren't, but
are you basically
in
good?
General, maybe.
Yeah, see, you are. Okay. You think you are. All right, I'm going to try to prove you wrong. Okay. And we'll also be able to explain why you wear clothing.
Oh,
I got an answer for that. I can actually explain to you why you put clothes on every day.
There's police around.
There's more reasons than that, my friend. All right.
Okay.
How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Oh, millions.
How many times have you blasphemed God's name?
A lot.
Just about 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, I was about to, but I decided it might be...
Thank you for that. Appreciate it very much. All right.
How many
times have you looked at porn, looked at a woman with lust?
Lots.
Lots of times.
Yeah, how many women have I seen today?
Tens.
Yeah.
Hundreds, perhaps.
Okay.
All right. How many times have you dishonored your parents?
Not too many, but some.
You've done it, right?
Yeah.
And remember the porn thing. You wouldn't be real happy to be doing that in front of mom and dad, right?
I don't think that would dishonor them, but...
You don't think so?
No, I mean...
Mom and dad tell their friends at the country club that their son is looking at porn?
I'm sure my parents have looked at porn.
All righty. How many lies have you told, dude?
Untold.
Untold number of lies. And you?
Millions.
Millions.
No, you're, millions.
You're a productive fellow. All right.
Yeah.
Millions of lies. How many things have you stolen in your life?
I don't know. I don't really count.
How many things have you stolen?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Lust? How many times? Today.
Does it include these guys as well? I don't know.
Whatever.
A lot. I think every girl.
All right. Every
right
girl.
Now.
All right. Dude, how many things have you stolen in your lifetime?
Tens
of things.
Yeah.
All right. How many times have you lost in?
I don't know.
Tens of times? Thousands of times, probably?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys, I just gave you a little test. You said you're a good guy. I think I just proved you're wrong.
No,
by your own admission, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a blasphemer, and you're an adulterer at heart. That doesn't sound like a good guy to me.
I think that doesn't characterize me overall.
Well, consider a criminal who gets brought before a judge, and the judge knew that the guy had broken hundreds, thousands of laws.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, but judge, overall, I don't think that characterizes me. Would the guy be innocent or guilty?
The guy's guilty for each crime that he commits.
Right.
And innocent of everything else.
And you'd call him, if he committed murder, you'd call him a murderer or a raper, you'd call him a rapist,
yeah.
Right?
You can call me a
liar
if you want.
Okay.
I don't think that makes me a bad person.
Well, what does it make you?
It makes me a person.
Do you like getting lied to?
I thought that the whole... So I'm guessing you're coming from a very Christian slant.
Well, I'm coming from a Ten Commandments slant right
now. Yeah, Ten Commandments slant.
Yeah.
Is that the idea is that people commit sins, and then you are not supposed to, but then you do anyway, and then you get redemption for that by being sorry about it and a good person overall. I'm saying you're trying to make the argument that I'm a liar, and sure, I'm a liar.
Okay.
I've lied.
Right.
So you can make that definition, but I don't think that it proves your point that I'm a bad person overall.
Really?
But if you feel
that way,
what
would you have to do to be considered a bad person? How many laws would you have to break?
I don't think that it has to do with laws. I think that it has to do with hurting or disrespecting other people.
Did lies help people or hurt people? Disrespected them.
50-50.
Looking at women, man, I'll bet some of them would slap your face if they knew what you were doing in your brain.
But some of them like it.
Maybe.
Ones that I look at, they don't know anything, so it doesn't hurt them.
All right. I try to make my case that you're not a good guy, you're a bad guy. What do you say for yourself?
I think I'm a good guy.
This interview's over. You all done? Got a little too personal, didn't it? You still think you're a good guy even though you've lied? Hundreds, thousands of times, I think you said? Lusted a lot?
Yeah, but you haven't classified by lies. Some lies are good, some are bad.
The bad ones. Lying lies.
Yeah, I think they're still good at the end of the day. They don't do any harm.
Oh,
they haven't harmed anyone.
Dude, you hate it when people lie to you.
Not really.
You do too. I know it for a fact. It really makes you angry.
If their output is more good than bad, then I classify them as good.
Yeah.
So.
Nobody's ever lied to you then?
I mean, they probably have, yeah.
Got up your nose, didn't it?
Nope.
Didn't. Well, you're a better man than I, Gunga Din. All right, dude, good person or bad person?
I'm a good person.
Still?
Yeah, I'm still a good person. I'm actually happy I have a God that gives me redemption. So it's perfect.
Your God allows you to look at pornography and women and have sexual desires? Who is this God?
God wants me to be happy, right?
I don't know. Who is this God?
He's my God. He's everywhere. He's probably in you, too.
He is?
Yeah.
So you're a pantheist?
Yeah.
Or a panentheist?
No, I'm not.
Do you believe in God?
I do.
There's no sense of justice with your God? He's not going to punish lawbreakers? Is your God going to judge and punish rapists and murderers?
My God doesn't judge me.
Does he judge anybody?
No, he does not.
So he's an amoral God. Doesn't sound like God to me. What power does this God have?
He's a wonderful God.
If he's wonderful, why does he like raping and lusting and pornography?
Have I said that I raped a girl in the past? I don't think I did, right?
No, I don't believe. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's not the point. There's a lot of rapes that happen. There's a lot of murders that happen. Is he not going to deal with those people?
I mean, justice in a country is made for it, right?
No, God's justice.
God's justice.
Will God ever have a day of justice?
Of course God doesn't want that.
Well, let's ask it. Okay, guys, can you hang in with me for just a couple seconds?
Make it short. You're
getting hungry. All right, hang on. Okay, hang in there. Just 1 second, all right? Taking a quickie. Wretched Radio.
This is me biting my tongue, introducing Paul Marty from Tomorrow Clubs.
Communism so wreaked havoc in the countries where we work that they not only need physical rebuilding, but they need spiritual rebuilding as well.
Would love to offer a political commentary, but instead would like to encourage you to support your very own Tomorrow Club. In Eastern Europe, they are still feeling the ravages of communism, and very few missionary organizations seem to find their way to the poorest of the poor nations in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs does. They teach the gospel to kids every week in kids' clubs. They meet in small, poor villages where they share the gospel. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel home, and moms and dads get saved. Please consider supporting your very own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclub.org/wretched.
Suicide, typically an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's one we need to talk more about because it's the third leading cause of death among Gen Zers. This generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. Today's youth need help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it, but you know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide will provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. Give these booklets away to someone who need hope. wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Because God's people disobeyed, he sent them into exile. The book of Ezra tells us of Israel's return under Ezra's leadership and preaching, and how Israel underwent a period of intense reformation. When you experience divine chastisement, look to Ezra to see that God's discipline is meant for your restoration and reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can a God be God if he doesn't care that bad things happen? That is the question. This is Wretched Radio. I'm standing here at Georgia Tech with three guys. And dude, you are the one who believes that there's a God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you guys think that there's a God?
Yeah.
And you believe there's a God?
I think that my beliefs about God would not line up with yours.
Yeah. I'm just asking you. Do you think that there is a God?
Let's say no for our purposes.
All right, let's say no for a bit. So there's no God.
Right.
All right. If there was a God, Do you know how many murders took place in the 1990s in the United States? Big number. Take a shot. 200,000 people were murdered in this country. 100,000 of them were brought to justice. That means 100,000 got off scot-free, did horrible things to people, and got away with it. Do you think that if God exists, he should deal with those people and give them what they deserve, if there's a God?
I don't think that there's any, you know, force on in this life that can deal with people outside of, you know, the laws of men. You know, and maybe in the
but if God, but if God exists,
life, I don't know what happens.
Right, I understand. So this is a fantasy.
If
right
God
now
exists, yeah. I mean, if your God exists, then yeah, he definitely is.
All right, okay, then let's transition. Let's say it's my God. Okay, I'm a Christian. That probably doesn't shock you, right? I'm a Christian.
Doesn't shock me.
I believe that the God of the Bible exists. If that God exists and he's perfect and he's holy, what do you think he should do with lawbreakers?
Supposedly, God has a good idea about what's going on. Perfect, yeah. All-powerful, all-knowing.
Yeah.
Why even worry about this? Why not just try to do what God says to do and forgive those that, you know,
here's
that
why
transgress? That's
here's
the whole
why
idea of Christianity.
Because God has told us what to do. Mm-hmm. Keep the laws, be pure, don't lie, don't steal, right, don't cheat, don't be angry,
right,
don't lust.
Right.
You haven't done that. God's right response to you would be to be angry with you.
Okay, so that's it then. God could be angry.
That's right.
But why worry about...
Because God is angry at you.
People who... Are you a sinner?
Yeah.
So you should worry about what God thinks about you.
I do.
And we should let the laws of men worry about how to punish
no,
people
but see,
in this life.
If he's the just judge of all the earth, he's the supreme judge who's going to give an account for all the things that the police miss. Okay, for instance,
okay,
guys, the books get opened up. Every thought, every word and deed. The police don't catch those things, but God does. He's a just God. You confess to breaking his laws. If you're guilty, what should God do with you? Should he send you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
Well, that depends on heaven and hell.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Heaven's good, hell is a bad place. What should a just God do with somebody like you who's broken the laws? Would God, if he's just, send you to heaven or hell?
I mean, this is a different opinion of God. Are we talking about your God?
Yes.
Probably hell, because I'm not a Christian, so I mean, but...
No, because you're a lawbreaker. Not because you're not a Christian, but because you're a lawbreaker.
What laws have I broken, though?
Lying, lusting. Have you ever blasphemed God's name?
I was just the other day, but I mean, that isn't... Okay. That's defined in your rules. That's not in my rules.
Well, no, those are God's rules, and they're either true or false.
But again, this is defined... You assume that God is your God, and within mine, I have a different definition,
okay,
so it's a different...
Fair enough, but if my God is the true God, what would he do with you?
Again, if your God was a true God, I would go to hell because I'm, quote-unquote, not a Christian.
Okay. No, because you're a lawbreaker. That's the difference.
No, I believe that
you, if the
I
God, true God is God,
Jesus Christ, I am not going to heaven.
Yeah. But you're going...
I mean, I've been told that on multiple occasions.
But let me help you out theologically. You don't go to heaven for not believing in Jesus. That's just one of your crimes. You go for breaking God's laws. Okay. Criminals go to jail for breaking the laws. People go to hell because they've broken the laws, not because they're not Christians. So, guys, you'd be going to hell, right?
I mean, I'm happy that my God is much better than yours, probably.
But if mine exists,
but
yours doesn't.
I would be glad to be to your hell.
I would love
yeah,
to be
with
here.
You.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
you have no idea how bad
actually,
it is.
Because of you, we didn't eat and we may be dying.
Go.
Right
go okay, guys, gentlemen.
I would love to go.
I thank you very much for the chat. You would not want to go there, sir. Alrighty. Well, this is interesting. Wait a second. We had an onlooker. Young lady. You were eavesdropping, weren't you?
I surely was.
What did you think about what just happened there?
I didn't hear the initial question, but I heard parts of it and thought it was interesting.
What part was interesting?
What was your initial question to them?
Would you consider yourself to be a good person? And they said, yeah, we're good guys. And I asked them some questions that I think prove that they're not good guys, that they're actually bad guys. That's how all that happened.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Do you think you're a good person?
In what terms?
By the standard of the Ten Commandments.
I think that I try my best to follow Jesus' example.
All right.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I consider myself to be sinful.
You do?
So, yeah, I am.
So you're a bad person?
Not necessarily a bad person, but if you're going to use it by Bible terms, you know, only God is good.
Yeah? Okay, so you'd be bad. Yes?
In terms of sinful, yes, all of us are.
Right. So being sinful makes you a bad person, right?
I guess, I mean, it depends what you're defining it by.
Yeah, well, I take it you're a Christian, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here, it's kind of a trick question then if you're a Christian. The exact precise right answer would be, oh yeah, I'm a sinful person, but I'm a forgiven person, and God is growing me in holiness. That would be maybe the right way to say it, or to say that I have an alien righteousness in me. But in and of myself, I'm a bad guy. I've lied, I've stolen, I've lusted, I've blasphemed. I deserve God's wrath. But Jesus took my place and he took my punishment for me. I repented, apologized for my sins, turned from my sins, putting my trust in Jesus, and he forgave me and granted me everlasting life based on Jesus' goodness, not mine. And so now, even though my past is very sinful and I still sin as a Christian, he's growing me in holiness. That might be the most precise way to put it if you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think that a lot of that is right.
A lot or all?
I mean, it's funny because, I mean, I heard different things that you said to them. And, you know, they're not all biblically based.
Which, grab one. Which one was it? Where do you think I was off?
Belief in hellfire.
Oh, you don't think God sends people to hell?
I believe that that there nowhere in the Bible does it speak of a burning hell. There is some
Matthew 25.
There are some figurative things in there. However, if you look up the terms that are used in the original writings, hell is just mankind's common grave.
Mm-mm.
Yes, it is.
It's a lake of sulfur, weeping and gnashing of teeth.
The second judgment, that's something different.
What religion are you?
I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses.
I figured as much. There
yeah,
we go.
Yeah.
And you don't believe that Jesus is God, right?
I believe he's God's son.
But not God?
No.
Is he Michael the Archangel?
Yes, he is.
Okay. So you don't have a payment for your sins.
I do.
Who is it?
I do. Jesus' death. Jesus died. John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died so that people who put their faith in him.
Have you read the Gospel of John?
I have.
Do you know how many times Jesus calls himself God in that Gospel?
You know what? There is, if you were to take your time and to study, you would see that Jesus says there are many, or let me put it this way, there are many gods, yet there is one true God.
And no, all the other gods are false.
False.
It's the first and second commandment.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
However, it says in the beginning, Jesus was God.
The same was in the beginning
God.
With God. Nope.
There's an article there.
Actually, there isn't an article there.
There is an article there.
No, because there's... No, for in Greek, there's no article. You're right with what you're saying, but you just have it flipped.
Okay.
In order for it to say the God, it would have to have a huh in front of it, which would be the for us. But it doesn't have it. But later in the same chapter of John, it does. So it kind of gets defeated. And furthermore, in the rest of the Gospel of John, he calls himself God so clearly.
But if you were... I mean... It just depends. Your answer will come based on the way how you look for it. You know, if you're looking humbly to find the right answer, you will find the right answer.
But Jesus said he's the answer.
He's
the way, the truth, the life.
Nobody
comes to the Father but through him.
Through him, exactly.
Right. And what happens if they don't go through him? What happens to people? Where do people go?
Everybody will have, I mean, they're not left in a burning hell. If God is love, God is definitely not going to
torment love hates
people.
Sin, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And he would put an end to that. Just like
not
the
if
Bible
he's just,
says,
and not if the offense
is
eternal.
More.
Let me leave you with a thought, all right? If I'm wrong, what's going to happen to me when I die?
What's going to happen to you? You won't be able to take part in everlasting life when the earth is restored to paradise.
What'll happen? So... I'm
so
kind of gone.
You're gone. That's
so
it.
So really, not too bad. I'll be no more conscious of life than I was before I was born, right?
Exactly.
Right. If I'm right, what's going to happen to you?
If you're right as far as what?
Jesus Christ is God himself who died on the cross to save people
true.
From the wrath of God. If I'm right, what'll happen to you?
What'll happen to me? Well, I'm putting faith in Christ. And
not
I'll
the right one, but not the one that I'm talking about. So if I'm right and you're wrong, what'll happen to you?
Well... it wouldn't matter if you're right or you're wrong.
Oh, it does. If I'm right, what'll happen?
Because I know what the truth is, and the truth is what matters.
You know what? I did the little fantasy. If you're right, nothing happens to me. I'm okay. But if I'm right, you're going to hell. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right. Have a good day, Rachel.
Bye.
Thank you very much. It's Witness Wednesday, Georgia Tech. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.